So it is Wednesday, June the 19th, 2019, and my name is Barry Adams, and this is the weekly fatherheart.tv webcast. And today, I'm just want to just talk about a topic that I've just titled Simple Faith. And it's not really rocket science, I think sometimes we have mystified faith into be this some super spiritual thing. And hopefully, you know, I really believe that if the gospel is too complex for little children to grasp, it's too complicated. And we know that the kingdom belongs to little children, so obviously the grid in which little kids see the world and are be able to even comprehend has to factor in the way that you and I live our Christian life. And I think of the scripture from 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter, and at the end of that, in verse 13, Paul writes and he says, "Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." And most often when we talk to talk in the webcasts and the topics that we use, we focus an awful lot on the love of God, and rightly so, because as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:1, he said, you know, make love your greatest aim. And you know, so we always endeavor to keep the main thing the main thing. And the last time I actually spoke 2 weeks ago, I talked about the power of sonship. I'm not sure if anybody, how many people were in the webcast then, but you know, there are other components of the kingdom that are very, very important, and they're fundamental in the way that we live in the kingdom. But of course, always the foundation and the main thing has to be the love of God. And it's when we keep the main thing, it is then, I guess it's just right that we pursue and explore and unpack other aspects of the kingdom, right? Because when love is the central part of our life, when the relationship with God is the central point, not servitude, but just a heart opening relationship with Him as a Father, and with Jesus as our big brother and the Holy Spirit that lives in us, the Spirit of Sonship, then I think it just helps us to be able to prioritize things, have a right perspective, not an orphan mindset, not a slave mindset, but, you know, sons and daughters to the Father. So and when Paul says that these three things remain, they're almost like pillars in the kingdom: faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So I just want to talk a little bit more about the dynamic of faith and the kind of the role that it plays in our everyday life. And I want to start by reading John 6, verses 28 and 29. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, "Don't work for the food which perishes, but for the food which remains to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for God the Father has sealed him." They said, therefore, to him, "What must we do?" Right? Here's this: "What must we do that we may work the works of God?" Right? So they're looking for, okay, what are we going to do? What are the hurdles that we have to climb in order to be acceptable to God? And Jesus answered in verse 29, he goes, Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." And it's interesting, the word there, and I forgive me if I'm not pronouncing it right, the Greek word that Jesus says, therefore, the work of God is to believe on the one he sent, is the word pistuo. Now, it's pistuoo. That would be the phonetically, the way you would say it. And that word is to have faith in, upon, or respect to a person or thing, to entrust, especially one's spiritual well-being, to Christ, to believe, commit, to trust, to put in trust with. Now, that's the Strong's Concordance of the word for believe there. And if we start to, like, there's three components, three words that we're very, very familiar with in the Christian life with regards to faith. And that's the word to have faith, and to believe, and to trust. And if we look, and we'll be unpacking this a little bit, but we understand that the root word in the Greek is very, very similar for all those three words. And even this word that says believe, where in the World English Bible it says to believe on the one he sent, it also means to entrust, to trust, to commit, to put trust in. So when we start to talk about this whole idea of faith, there's actually, I think there's two ways that I have experienced it, and I've observed that we can deal with this issue of faith. And the one way, which I believe is falling short of what God has in store for us, is a more of a contractual way to think about faith. So that basically, you know, God says it, it's his word, we stand upon the word. It's in a sense, it's his obligation to fulfill his word. And there is some truth, the power in the name of Jesus, miracles will happen because people use the name of Jesus, even if they haven't got an intimate relationship with him. I mean, that's what it says when Jesus says, and on that day, people will come to me saying, didn't I do, you know, wondrous works in your name, miracles in your name? And Jesus said, I never knew you. So just the name of Jesus, the word of God, the power of his word actually carries a force. And oftentimes, if we are kind of missing the main thing, if love isn't the focus in which we live our life, then we can see faith as more of a contractual arrangement that we have with God, that he's made promises in his word. So we can take that and we can declare and act on them, right? And, you know, fair enough, God's word is powerful, and I have a high value for God's word myself. But if we are just seeing faith in the scriptures through a lens of a contract, as more of God said it, he's obligated to fulfill it, it's more mechanical. But I really believe that the faith that the Father is looking for on planet Earth, I believe the faith that touches his heart is a faith that goes beyond anything that's mechanical or contractual, and it goes into the relational dimension, the relational realm of being sons and daughters to him in our hearts. You see, the word trust, that when Jesus said the work of God is to believe on the one he sent, it's to entrust him, to rely on him, to depend upon him, to have a relationship with God himself. And you can't really say the word trust or use the word trust or think about our relationship with God in the context of trust in a mechanical way. When you trust somebody, there is a heart relationship. They've proven themselves to be trustworthy. And I think, you know, that's where I know I have misused that in the past. And earlier in my Christian life, I was declaring the word of God, and I was, you know, using scriptures, but it was like I was doing it absence of a relationship with him. I just was being very, very contractual. So when I talk about faith, when we talk about the importance of faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. When we talk about faith, I just want to encourage you, what we are really talking about is trust. That God wants to increase our ability to trust him, to know that he is good, that he's kind, that he won't hurt us, he won't abuse us, he won't take advantage of us. He loves us with a love that causes him to lay his own life down. This is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. And that's in 1 John 4:10. And so when we look at Hebrews 11, verse 6, which is a passage of scripture that we're all familiar with, it says, without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing to him, for he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And of course, the word for believe in Hebrews 11, 6 is the same word where Jesus said the work of God is to believe on the one he sent. And so if we look at that, so what pleases God the Father? But it's that we believe that he exists, that we trust in him, that we open our hearts to him, knowing that he is good. It's not just a contractual, I acknowledge that there is a God, I know that he exists, I know that he provides for everybody, but it becomes going from the mechanical and the contractual into the relational. that he's our dad. And because we know that he's good and we can trust in his goodness, we know that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And see, I truly believe the more that we begin to see with through the eyes of relationship in the concept of faith, it's amazing because I believe that we have the ability to touch the heart of God in everything that we do. In Matthew 8, verse 5 to 13, there's this story of a centurion, and his servant was sick and was dying. And so he told Jesus, and then Jesus said, okay, you know, I'll go to your house. And then he says to Jesus, and this is not a direct quote, this is me saying, he just said, you know, I'm a man under authority. You know, I understand authority. I'm under authority, and people are underneath me as well. I'm not worthy that you come to my house. Just speak the word and it'll happen. So what he was basically saying to Jesus, you know what? I know you are who you are. And so I believe that. I trust in you. So if you just say the words right now, I don't even need the evidence that you need to come to my house. You can say it now and I can walk away absolutely believing that what you said is going to happen will happen. And then so Matthew chapter 8 verse 10 in the Message version of the Bible, this is what it says of Jesus' response. It says, taken aback, Jesus said, I've yet to come across this kind of simple trust in Israel. You see, this ability that the centurion had, a non-Jew, to be able to trust in Jesus was like blew Jesus away. He said, man, and this is my paraphrase. I've not seen faith like this anywhere. In some translations say he marveled. It's like, whoa, I'm blown away. That's my paraphrase. I haven't seen any of this. But it's interesting that the Message version says, I've yet to come across this kind of simple trust in Israel. And, you know, when there was a woman who came to Jesus in Mark, chapter 5, and you know she had an issue of blood, and you guys probably, I know you know the story, but she went and she thought in her mind, if I could just touch his garment, I would be healed. And so it's interesting how Jesus said to her, your faith has healed you. And again, if we look at it from a contractual understanding, and so that's like a non-relational understanding where we just say, okay, you know, Jesus is the healer. I declare that he heals me. Amen. And then there's no interaction of hearts. That's not what Jesus was saying here. In Mark 5:34, in the Amplified version of how he responded to her after she touched him, because Jesus said, I felt power be released through me. Jesus says these words to her, and this is the Amplified Bible. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, and then in brackets in the Amplified, it says, your trust and confidence in me, springing forth from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. You see, it's this trust. Your trust and confidence in me is something I truly believe this side of heaven is the only time that you and I are able to exercise faith. When we see Jesus as he is, the Bible says we will be like him, and that there will be no sickness, there will be no disease, there will be no heartache. You know, we will be with God forever. He will wipe away every one of our tears. When we get to heaven, there will be no opportunities for you and I to exercise faith, because faith is something, it's a gift that you and I have this side of heaven to be able to say to God, I trust you. In the midst of the storms of my life, in the midst of the uncertainties of life, I trust you. I believe that you are who you say you are. I believe that you reward those who diligently seek you, and I trust you with all my heart. And in the same way where great faith blew Jesus away. Jesus was also frustrated with his friends, his disciples, when they exhibited lack of faith. So when we understand faith in the context of trust, so a lack of faith is a lack of trust. And in Matthew 6:30, Jesus is talking, and he says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today exists and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, Won't he much more clothe you, you of little faith? And so if you get this sense of Jesus wanting his disciples to, oh, I want to trust you. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be fearful. I don't have to be anxious about the future. I can trust you because you are who you say you are. We can trust our Father. Earlier in that passage of scripture, Jesus said, consider the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor store in the barns, yet your Father feeds them. Are you of not much more value than they? You see, Jesus kept on coming back to, you're loved. Your Father is good. He's kind. He feeds the birds. He's going to feed you. And he's saying, don't be, of little faith or of trusting too little. In Matthew 8:26, in the complete Jewish Bible, this is the translation that says, why are you so afraid? So little trust you have. Then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and there was a dead calm. And this is, of course, when they're on the boat, he's sleeping in the boat, and there's a storm comes, and they all freak out, and they wake him up, and they're all anxious, and he's going like, you know, why are you afraid? Like, you got me in the boat. Everything's going to be okay. And the way he responded to them was, so little trust you have. You see, when there's a faith, hope, and love, they're all rooted in relationship, and it's the relationship of the foundation of love. And when you and I know that we're loved, then we can trust in God. We can trust in our Father's goodness. We can have hope for the future because he's promised us a bright future. Now, you know, and I do want to say, and I think it's really important that when we talk about faith, you know, I think sometimes people have this idea that if bad things happen to me, then somehow something's gone wrong with my faith, my ability to pray, or I've done something wrong. And I truly believe that we live in an orphan world system. We live in a broken world system. We live in a fallen world system, and bad things happen to good people. It happens all the time. And it's not because we've had a lack of faith, but it's rather a consequence of a broken world system. But when the eyes of faith, when we begin to see with the eyes of faith, the Father wants us to look up. He wants us to keep our eyes on Jesus. He wants us to fix our eyes on the unseen, not the seen. He wants us to keep our gaze on the eternal and not the temporal, because that's where hope comes. Our ultimate hope is in the promise of the eternal future that we have, right? I mean, hope isn't in the moment, hope is for the future. And if we look with the eyes of faith, if we keep looking to the promises of God, to the goodness of God, that he is kind and he loves us, the reason why we can trust in him is because he loves us with all his heart. And the more that we believe that to be true, I truly believe our faith is strengthened. And it, again, we go beyond this understanding of a contractual relationship with God and into relationship where we know he is good. Now, Hebrews 11:1 defines what faith is. And it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Now here you're tying in hope to the present, right? And proof of things not seen. And that's in the World English Bible. And the NIV Bible says it this way, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about we do not see. So when we begin to understand the importance of faith in our everyday Christian life and how much we can touch God's heart when we live a trusting life, we can understand that we can actually, there's a substance of faith that can actually bring comfort and bring a sense of rest and a sense of peace in our everyday life, no matter what is happening in our life, because it is stuff. It is the stuff of love. It's the reason we can trust is because God loves us. The reason we can believe is because God loves us. The reason we can have faith is because God loves us, and because he's a father to the fatherless, and he puts the lonely in family. In the families, in Hebrews 11:1, in the Amplified Version, this is what it says. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now, that's a mouthful, but when you think of that, it's the title deed, it's the confirmation of the things that you and I hope for, and the proof of the things we do not see, and we're convicted of the reality of perceiving real fact that is not revealed to the senses. You see, I truly believe when we begin to understand that the root of faith is just trust, and the root of trust is just knowing we're loved and living in love and just being convinced that we're safe the way, and no matter what storms are coming our way, that the Father loves us, that the Son loves us, and the Holy Spirit loves us, that the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have made their dwelling in our hearts. There's nothing in all creation that can separate us from His love. And then the more that we are able to believe that that's true, I believe it brings the substance, the assurance of the things hoped for, the evidence of the things that we don't see. See, I believe that the religious mindset makes faith more complicated than it really is. You know, we can see faith as something that is really hard, that it must be mysterious and it must be difficult. Yet the truth of the matter is that we exercise faith every day of our life in almost everything that we do. There's daily acts of our faith that we don't even consider faith because it just seems so natural to us. We trust that when we drive down the road, we're trusting that our car is going to stay in our lane and the cars coming in the opposite direction are going to stay in their lane. We expect when you go to work that you trust that your employer is going to pay you at the end of the week. You believe that the house that you live in, the roof's not going to fall in, so you sleep at night without any worries. The chair that I'm sitting in right now, I trust that it will hold my weight. And, you know, I can go on and on. The food you eat, you trust that it's not going to poison you, on and on and on. We live daily surrounded by things that we need to have confidence in that they're going to not hurt us. And so basically our lives are based on a number of countless faith choices in what we do. Now, if you don't believe in something, you won't trust it, right? Like if I just came back from a trip recently to Finland, and if I wasn't convinced that that plane could actually get in the air and stay in the air and get me over to Europe, there is not a chance that I would have got on it. But I wouldn't have even thought to book a flight if I didn't have some form of confidence in a plane. And again, you know, it can go for anything. But faith is simply our ability to choose something. I choose to believe something. You know, I could not have faith in a plane. And then what would be the evidence of that? I would not book a flight and then I wouldn't have gone to Europe. But I have the freedom to choose to believe and have confidence in that, or I could choose to not have confidence. And that's what directs oftentimes our daily decisions. You can choose to put your faith into something or you don't have to. If we believe something is worthy of our trust, we exercise faith and rely on it. If we don't believe it's worthy of our trust, we just won't enjoy the benefits of it, even if it is safe. You know, the process of faith, I think, is so simple. Again, the religious mindset can make it some kind of mysterious thing that's out there that we can't grasp. Remember that the kingdom belongs to little children. And Jesus said, unless you receive the kingdom just like little children would do, you're going to miss out on the kingdom, right? That's Jesus' words. They're not mine. That's Luke chapter 18. So, and you look at just the intuitive way that little children live their life and the way that they are born with trusting hearts. They're born with this ability to believe what their parents tell them. It's meant to be incredibly simple. I think it is a broken religious world system, an orphan world system that has complicated this concept of believing. And again, we have made it something that is rule-based. We've made it something of striving and working. And, you know, you have to work to get it, and then you have to defend it and be afraid to lose it, because just that's how life works. And I just believe it's just so much simpler than that. Give you an example of being on this webcast. You know, you heard that, you know, you had an understanding that the webcast was going to be on Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 8 p.m. UK time. And so you heard about it, and then you decided you wanted to go to it, and so you started to move towards the action of actually being in the webcast. And then, so that's just the way that faith works in a very, very practical way. You decide to attend the webcast, you click on the link to get in the webcast, you're enjoying the webcast now. And, you know, for those who are listening afterwards, you know, you had to determine to click on the link to watch the video or the audio afterwards. So before you actually got to this point of listening to the webcast, you were saying, okay, I am going to do this. I'm going to plan my day so I can listen to this. So in a sense, there's an act of faith by moving towards that so that you can experience that. But once you are in the webcast, you can't say no longer, I by faith, I'm going to the webcast, because you're in the webcast. And in the same simple way that you are enjoying the webcast, I truly believe that faith just causes us to take steps towards things that we have confidence in, that we want, that we desire, that we have trust in, and then we actually have the benefit of that. And if we don't take those steps, then we won't enjoy it. So if you said, well, I don't want to go to the webcast, well, you wouldn't be in the webcast and you wouldn't be enjoying it right now. But I really believe that when you get into the webcast and you enjoy the webcast, it goes from any kind of something in the future to becoming a reality, and it now becomes fact. You're in the webcast or you're watching it afterwards. And I just believe that God wants us to move in the substance of faith in our relationship with Him. You know, one of the things when I have prayed for people, you know, in ministry times, you know, after I've spoke, and, you know, I talk to them and they say to me, you know, some of them, and I understand why, because of the hurt and the pain and the disillusionment and maybe the misrepresentation of His nature through religious leaders or broken parents. But, you know, where they look at me and they say, I do not believe that God loves me. You know, maybe He can love somebody else, but He can't love me. Now, I don't believe there is anything in all creation that can separate us from His love. And even when we choose to make declarations that He doesn't love us, but it just makes it more difficult for you and I to enter into the actual substance of His love. You know, when we say, I don't believe He loves me. See, the Father loves you whether you believe it or not. He is pursuing you whether you are receiving His pursuit or not. But the truth of the matter is that we have this God-given gift, this side of heaven, where we have free will. We have the ability to receive His love or to reject His love. He keeps loving us, but the reality is that He wants us to receive His love, to enjoy His love, to live in His love, and to marinate in that love, to be pickled in His love. As 1 John 4:16 says, to live in love. Whoever, and so we know and rely on, it says, the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. So if by faith we move towards that and say, the Father loves me, whether I feel like He's loving me or not, I can't trust my senses, I can't trust my life experience, I can't trust bad theology, but I choose to trust in Him. And the more that we move towards Him, even when everything in our circumstances scream the opposite, I truly believe we are just moving towards the reality of learning to abide in His love, live in His love, in no matter what happens. I believe that we can move from a place of being in faith to fact, where we no longer doubt we are loved, we believe we are sons and daughters, where we begin to live out our sonship. Now, Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I just believe that the Father wants each and every one of us to hear His word, His rhema word, the now word, that I love you and I'm trustworthy no matter what has happened. Though, as King David said in Psalm 27, verse 10, though my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will receive me. The Father receives us, and He does it. He is not like any parent on planet Earth or any broken religious leader. He is a father to the fatherless, and He loves us with an everlasting love. And the more that we can become convinced that He is who He says He is, the more that we will begin to trust Him. See, if we have a theology where he's temperamental, where he's if we mess up, he rejects us, or he's disappointed in us. And, you know, we're not going to want to come close to a God or a father who exhibits those kind of qualities. But when we begin to believe that no matter what happens in our life, he continues to love us. Jack Winter used to say, there's nothing we could ever do to make God love us any more than he does right now. And there's nothing that we could ever do to make God love us any less than he does right now. You see, little children have no problem believing their parents. If we have grandchildren, and of course we wouldn't say this unless it was true, but if I said to our grandkids that, you know, there's pink elephants that fly in the sky, you know, they would just look at me and say, yay, because they trust their grandfather, and they have their open hearts to their grandfather, and they have absolutely no problem trusting us as grandparents or their parents. And in the development of the human brain, between the age of 0 and 7, most children believe everything they're told by their parents. Because, see, you were born with a trusting heart. You were born with an open heart. You were born with a loving heart. It wasn't that you had to learn to trust. It was like you were taught to mistrust. And I truly believe that this area of faith that is not contractual, but it's relational, and it's tied in to this word trust, that God wants us to trust him because he's trustworthy, that the more that you and I are able to believe that that's the truth, the more that it will, that faith can rise up in our hearts. And, you know, good days, bad days, and every day between, that the evidence of his loving us is not our circumstances or our feelings, that we go rise above all those things, not because it's contractual, but because it goes into the relational realm where we know that he is good. You see, why do adults struggle to believe? It's because they have had their childlike trust broken by an unloving orphan world system. You know, like, little kids who have grown up to be adults and all have heard many things when they were younger, you know, shame on you, you were an accident, you will never amount to anything, and many children were hurt and abused and rejected, and that has just so damaged us in our ability to trust, because we had trusting hearts, you had a trusting heart, but the Father, I truly believe, wants to restore childlike trust to each and every one of us. King David writes in Psalm 22, verse 9, he says, you made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. And you see, that is where you and I were meant to learn to trust. You know, and another translation of that passage says, I learned to trust at my mother's breast. You see, God wants to restore that lost place in us that was broken. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life, and they might have it abundantly. The Father wants to restore our ability to trust no matter what happens in our life. And you see, if you've had, like, gone through struggles, and I don't know anybody on planet Earth that's not had some hardships at some point, my encouragement is that you would understand that it's a journey that we're on, and the Father wants us to grow in our faith of him, in our trust of him, and that we would believe who we are. And the more that we believe that he is who he says he is, the more that we may dare to believe that we are who he says we are. We're sons and daughters to the everlasting God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Right now, the Bible says that we are seated in the heavenly realms, hid with Christ in God right now, even though we're on planet Earth. And I truly believe that the Father wants to open up the eyes of our hearts so that we can see beyond our circumstances, see beyond our life history, see beyond bad theology, and so that we could see with an eternal perspective. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18, he said, for our light affliction, which is for the moment, works for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. while we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I truly believe that the Father wants to raise our gaze today. The Bible says that He's the glory and the lifter of our head. And when I think of that scripture, I think of the Father when I'm downcast and my head is to the ground and I'm looking at my circumstances and I'm faithless. It's like His love lovingly comes to me and He puts His finger under my chin when it's down and He lifts my head up so I can look into His eyes. And He says, "Oh, son, you know, I just want to lift your head. I want you to look and I want you to see. I want you to see what I see in you in the future. And get, do not just fix your eyes on the temporal and on the things that can distract us from and bring us into a place of just being discouraged." You see, the Father wants us to trust in Him. That's what He's after. And that's what faith is. That without faith, it is impossible to please God. He wants you to trust Him. He wants me to trust Him. In the middle of every circumstance that we have, He loves it. Jesus was blown away by great faith with the centurion. I believe that the Godhead is blown away when in the middle of our the most difficult of circumstances, we say, "Father, I don't understand what's happening, and I'm hurting," and being honest about our struggles, but say, "I trust you." Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in Yahweh with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." And Strong's definition of trust, the Hebrew word for trust, is to have confidence, to be bold, to be secure, to feel safe, and to be careless. I truly believe that the Father wants to have the substance of His love that would just be manifest in our walk of faith, a walk of trust that brings peace, that brings rest, that brings joy, and that fear has to flee. Perfect love casts out fear, because we know that our security, our inheritance is secure, that we have an inheritance that is eternal, and we have an unfading crown of glory waiting for us, and that it's just to be able to have a perspective from God's vantage point about your life and my life, I think will strengthen us. I believe trust is a daily decision. I believe trust expresses our confidence in God no matter what the circumstances are. I believe trust is choosing to rest in God's goodness and His ability to care for us. I believe trust is the most precious gift that you and I can give to the Father. And I don't know if you've heard this saying before, but it said, how do you spell faith, the word faith? And then the answer is R-I-S-K, which spells out risk. You know, when our kids were little, you know, we'd have a game where we had stairs in our house and they'd go up two or three stairs and they would jump into my arms and they just absolutely loved it. And they didn't even have a concept that I wouldn't catch them. And I truly believe that the Father wants us to risk to trust Him, risk to have faith in Him, risk to believe that He is who He says He is. Risk to believe that Jesus is not only our Lord and our Savior, but He's our big brother. He's the firstborn among many brothers and sisters in the Father's family, and He has shared His entire inheritance with us. It's the most amazing thing, and I know we know this, but I think sometimes we need to remind each other, and it builds our faith. You know, encouragement means to give courage to. It's like we become courageous again when we begin to encourage one another with these absolute truths. And I believe God loves it when we believe Him, have faith in His promises, and we begin to metaphorically jump off the stairs into His big, strong arms. Now, if you're here today, like many of us, and maybe you're struggling to believe, maybe you know you're going through a faith crisis, or maybe you're going through circumstances that you just cannot possibly see your way through those things, I truly believe that God understands. The Bible says that He's close to the brokenhearted and that He will save those who are crushed in spirit. And there was a situation in the book of Mark where there was a man who came to Jesus who wanted his child to be set free. And this is a story in Mark chapter 9, and this is verses 23 and 24. And it says, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And immediately the father of the child cried out with tears, "I believe, help my unbelief." You see, the father was honest. There's a one passage, I think one translation says, "Lord, I trust, help the areas that I mistrust." And I truly believe that the Father understands when we struggle to believe. I believe He understands when we have just a shred of faith, but it's just like, I believe, but there's areas that I don't believe. And you know, that honest declaration that this father had to Jesus, and he says, if you believe anything, Jesus said, anything's possible. He goes, with tears, he said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." That prayer was honest enough and real enough for Jesus to say, "Okay, I'm gonna heal your child." You see, I don't think we have to have these manufactured contractual declarations that are not the substance of relationship, but they're the substance of some kind of mechanical transaction that we think God is looking for. What God is looking for is love. He's looking for a loving relationship with you and me, a trusting relationship. So even in the midst of our struggles, and he says, "Do you believe?" Oh, Father, I believe, but help me in the areas that I'm still not believing. And you see, God understands that, and He can work with that. And so I just want to encourage you today, no matter where you are in your journey in this area of faith, that even in that place where you struggle to believe, and if you're honest, you say, "I believe as best I can, but help me in the areas that I don't believe," that is enough for God to work with. It's interesting, in Matthew 17, verse 19 and 20, Jesus talks about the amount of faith that can actually move a mountain, right? And he says this, "Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why weren't we able to cast it out,'" meaning a devil. He said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For most certainly I tell you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will tell this mountain, 'Move out from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Do you know that mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds for a tree? It can, if you put it on your finger, you know, you could barely see it. It's so small. And yet Jesus says, even if your faith, you know, "Lord, I believe, help," like there's a bit of me that believes, but there's maybe a lot that doesn't. And Jesus said, even if you have a faith the size of a mustard seed, one of the tiniest of seeds, you can speak to mountains and they'll go into the sea. And so my prayer for you is that you would be comforted knowing that the Father has compassion on you, and He understands you like no one else has ever understood you. He understands your struggles. He knows when you struggle in your faith. And it says in 2 Timothy 2:13, and this brings much comfort to me oftentimes. Paul writes, he says, even if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. You see, even when we're in a place where we struggle in our faith, because He's a father. Fathers don't give up on their kids. Even if we give up on Him, He is pursuing us. He is constantly loving us, and He will never stop loving you. He will never stop loving me. And the more that we are convinced of His pursuit and of His kindness and of His goodness and of His faithfulness, the more that we will begin to realize, even when I'm faithless, He remains faithful, because He cannot disown Himself. He cannot deny who He is. He is my dad. I'm joined with Jesus forever. I'm safe and secure in His arms. So my encouragement to you today, and to me, because I can see myself in the reflection, would you just be willing to ask the Father to speak to you about this area of faith in your own life? And I'm just going to put the music on now. And if there's anything in your life, any areas in your life where perhaps you have said, you know, I cannot believe that God loves me, or I'm disqualified, or I'm a servant, I'm not a son or a daughter. Would you just, my encouragement, that you just ask the Father that His love would come, a greater revelation of His love into that broken area in your life. And that perhaps you would even break agreement with any declarations that he doesn't love you. And just dare to say, Father, I believe that you love me and that I am your child. Help the areas in my life that struggle to believe that. And I truly believe that even faith the size of a mustard seed will absolutely throw the mountains in your life, the opposition in your life, into the sea. Not because of your great faith, but because of God's faithfulness. So, Father, I just pray by the power of your Spirit that you would just continue to pour out your love in our hearts, that we would be convinced that you love us with an everlasting love. That you will never stop loving us, that you love us throughout eternity. And I just pray for our perspectives to shift, that our perspectives would change, and that we would see you with unveiled faces, Father, that we would behold the Lord of glory and be transformed from one degree of glory to the next. That we wouldn't look at our circumstances. We wouldn't be defined by our history. That we're not victims. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So, Father, I just pray that my brothers and sisters around the world would be strengthened now. They would be encouraged now. That they would be built up in the most holy faith right now. That we would keep ourselves in the love of God. Yay. And Father, thank you that it's not about our faith, but it's about your faithfulness. And we just pray, Father, that you would just help us to trust you more. Just restore to us childlike trust. Restore to us a childlike ability to simply believe what you say. Wow. And that any adult filtration system of cynicism and pessimism and fear and anger and angst and worry and doubt would just be consumed by the fire of your love. And we'd be like little kids who just say, yay, Papa, I'm loved with an everlasting love. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Now, Father, I pray that we would look not at the temporal, but the eternal. That we'd fix our eyes on the unseen and not the seen. Wow. Father, I thank you that if you open the eyes of our hearts right now in the spiritual realm, we would be surrounded by the angelic realm. Open our eyes, Father. Open our eyes to your affection. Open our eyes to the good news of the gospel, of our place, our identity as sons and daughters to the everlasting God, this side of heaven. Whoa. Wow. Just encourage you to say, Father, I believe. I believe you love me. I receive your love today. I believe that I am who you say I am. And you are who you say you are. I'm not going to agree with the lies that the enemy has spoken over me. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist those thoughts. Resist those lies and come into agreement with who God says you are. Wow. Just breathe in his love. Wow. He will never stop loving us. Wow. Wow. Amen.